You're listening to Recap.fm's coverage of the Amazon Prime original series, The Boys. This will be a recap of Season 1, Episode 4, The Female of the Species. I'm Jason.
I'm Seal.
The credits are rolling. Let's talk. All right. So, this episode, how'd you feel about it? Let's start off with just how did you feel, The Female of the Species?
I was excited to meet the female.
Yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, she's one of the characters you meet right away in the comics. And so it's kind of been building up to this, and so it's kind of fun. And I liked the way that they introduced her.
Yeah.
So I thought this episode was a lot of fun. And it had some crazy moments. So overall, I feel...
She specifically had some pretty crazy moments. It was awesome.
Goodness gracious, did she? And then her and A-Train's little moment in the subway. We'll get to that, but...
Right.
But no, overall, I mean, I dug it. This episode was just kind of bonkers, which is, you know, what we want from this show, so...
Oh, yeah. It is a bonkers show with, like, weirdly some drama mixed in, but, you know...
I like how great. I like the serious take on it. It's not as... Because, again, the comics, it's kind of over-the-top funny in some places. And this, they're taking it seriously. I dig it. It's like they're actually making a drama that just happens to have this weird backdrop. I really like that.
Yeah. So they're tracking down the Compound V. So they had the whole run-in with Popclaw. She blew up some heads. That whole situation led them to tracking down what they feel like was the next step, his drop-off point. Where A-Train was getting his the goods.
Yep.
And it takes an unexpected turn whenever they find a what looks like feral woman locked up in a cage.
Yeah, watching music videos or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. I really like that there's a relationship already forming pretty quickly on with her and Frenchie. And Frenchie just like has this sympathy, more so than obviously Butcher because, and let me just talk about Butcher for a second.
Please do.
He is, he's an asshole.
And, oh, and we straight know up.
That we know he's an asshole, but it's like to the point where you have to like ask the question. I think we're going to ask this question a lot more coming soon, is like, what is the difference overall between him and Homelander? I mean, there's so many similarities, and they're on parallel paths, and they hate each other. Well, Homelander's not sure he hates him yet. He doesn't even know who he is, really.
But, yeah, he hadn't figured that out yet, but yeah.
Yeah, so...
And they're both like so singularly minded that... They'll just, each one of them will do whatever it takes. That I think we mentioned this before, that it seems that for each of them, the end justifies the means.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And so Butcher is, he's obviously fueled by this need for revenge, which makes him lack empathy completely in most situations. Like this whole situation with the female coming to be like, that is a situation where it's like they knew Butcher wouldn't want anything to do with it, and Frenchie just kind of acted on his own accord. Is that so, like, from what you've read in the comics, does that relationship happen quickly with her and Frenchie?
So when we meet them in the comics, that relationship is already established. Okay. So she was part of the team prior with Mallory. So, and what the way the comics kind of starts up is, it's Billy Butcher getting the band back together.
Right.
And then of course he brings along Huey cause he, you know, but Huey's kind of the catalyst. He's like, hey, I think I can start this thing up again and we can go after the Seven.
Sure.
But so yeah, in the comic, the relationship's already there, but, and much later, you know, you get 30 something issues in and you start to get some backstory on the two of them and that relationship, but it's kind of neat to see it play out so early and, you know, to get to, you know, them
right.
And for the TV writers to put their own spin on the story about, okay, well, how these two meet, You know, because there's obviously a connection between them. Yeah. And it's not necessarily a romantic thing. It's a, it in some ways, it's almost like a brother sister thing sometimes.
Exactly.
And, like, and a, yeah. or a best friends kind of thing. And, you know, there's something about this girl that, you know, flipped a switch in Frenchie, and he's like, this is somebody that I can care about, or I should care about. This yeah, one individual like, person that I really should care about. Because he has that conversation earlier with Mother's Milk about, you know, how can you just care about one person? How can you be married? I don't get it.
Sure.
And
their pain is relatable.
Right.
Completely. And so, but to go back, so like, he lets her out of this cage.
And yeah, and the triad dudes come in, and they're like, no, don't let her out.
Oh, like, boy.
We're helping all of you. Keep her in the cage. She ran through them like a buzzsaw.
Just,
it was nuts.
Oh, my goodness, dude. Just tore through them. And that one guy runs in, sees that she's out, and he just takes himself out.
Yeah, he's just like, nah, screw this. Nah, not worth it. So then she takes off. Thankfully, without destroying the rest of the team,
because they locked themselves in her cage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Terrified. You know, she's out. She's on the loose. So now there's this whole other, you know, side of things where it's like they kind of stumbled into finding her on their way to find out more about Compound V, and Frenchie's. He sees some pain there, and
yeah,
and he's hooked onto that. So. Yeah, I thought that was cool. I thought her character is going to be really entertaining to watch. Just she's a savage, and I
yeah,
really
I can't I can't wait to see them. You know, I can't wait to see them develop her, and you know how they're how the TV writers are going to treat the character and do
right.
You know, blossom her, so to speak, and
yeah, and we can.
I just want to watch what she does. I mean, she is just. I've said it before. Bonker seems to be the word that I keep coming back to, but sure. Oh my goodness. I mean, this was just crazy. I love it.
Yeah. And to kind of like build more onto that, we can talk about, you know, Frenchie and her relationship. So come to find out, Frenchie was abused as a kid and had a yep. father who abused him and wanted to leave. And so I think that. That was that gut reaction of like wanting to free her because he knows what it's like to be imprisoned, really. And yeah. so wanting to immediately, you know, he sees that and it triggers something in him and he's like, I know this pain and I can relate with it. But of course she's going to take some warming up too, because, one, she clearly doesn't speak the language. So they're communicating solely on, you know, body gestures and emotion, and hoping that the eyes are the window to the soul.
Indeed.
So it's cool because when you're introduced to all these people, and even so, like, you know, me coming in and watching the show, it's neat to see how the writing is taking it to show like depth in each one of these characters, and specifically exploring Frenchie's depth and understanding he's not just a hired assassin, which I'm so thankful for. That is like that there's more to these characters than we were some badasses who got caught up in the wrong shit and now we're back together to, you know, get revenge, you know, like
right.
that story just wouldn't travel. And I think that this is a good play here.
Yeah, that's kind of a tired thing, and
yeah,
you know, in the TV landscape of today, you've got to do something new, and I think they've hit on that. So,
right,
these characters have depth, and all of them yes. do. All of them seem to, which is fun.
Yes, cool. So, moving on to Annie and Huey. And also Butcher's need to exploit their relationship for any advantage he can get. So he wants Huey to put a bug in Annie's phone.
Yep.
Kind of a huge breach of trust.
Oh, huge breach of trust. And
just a little bit.
Huey's a little reluctant to do it. He doesn't want to, at first, but yeah, I mean, that's not something you do when you're trying to build trust with someone.
Oh, yeah. I didn't do that until way later on in my relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, second day, you kidding me? No way. That's a couple
months. Yeah, no way, dude. That's a little too early.
Yeah. That's crazy talk. But yeah, so they go bowling. And classic, you know, superhero trying to play it cool because she could kick his ass at bowling if she really tried.
Yeah, she's like straight up going Clark Kent on him.
Right, yeah. So, but I like how their relationship is forming because he knows like she's capable of doing things and they're playing him as like this, you know, whatever, totally ignorant guy who thinks that women can't do things. It's like, yeah, she's a superhero. She's stronger than me. She's probably better than me at most things that I do. And I like that angle that they're rolling with her, for sure. Especially after the first episode and like bringing, you know, showing more power in her as a character is good.
Yeah.
Cause that's rough.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I like the turn that the turn that it takes where Huey just finally calls her out, you know, and he's like, hey, right. Look, don't go easy on me. I know what you can do. You're a superhero. Two, you told me that you grew up bowling. So let's see what you got. You know, show me what you got.
Yeah.
And although I do take slight issue. She throws. Oh, yeah. She picks up the spare, knocks all the pins down, and the line is, well, that was a strike. No, that was a spare.
Wrong again. You a big bowler, Seal?
I used to be.
I dabble.
Yeah, I dabble now. When I was a youngster, I was an avid bowler when I was when I was a little kid. Oh God, I loved it. It was one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I used to bowl a lot, and now I'm like, when someone says, "Hey, we're all going bowling," I'm like, "Meh."
Well, it got expensive.
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Bowling used to be dirt cheap, and
it was also a dirt cheap joint that you would go bowling at.
That's true.
Like every bowling alley I went to was just cigarette smoke and a bunch of old people drinking beers in the corner smoking cigarettes, wondering what the hell I'm doing there.
Well, there is that.
I'm just here to have fun with my friends.
Granted, bowling alleys are a lot nicer now.
Yeah. So Huey can't get over Robin. He keeps seeing her.
Yeah, that's trippy, dude. He sees her everywhere.
And it's a little terrifying. Sometimes she pops up out of nowhere. Yeah. I would have a really hard time focusing in, getting the job done.
Yeah.
So it's tricky. Also, another thing that comes up on their little date is Annie mentions that Translucent had a kid.
Mm.
That's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, so yeah, he was pumping her for information, and she's like, he's like, what does he do? She's like, I don't know, he's not around. Man. Mostly hangs out with his kid, and that look on his face, just you could see the color drain, and oh man, he's just mortified
because he's not a trained killer, you know. He doesn't have that gene in him. His dad said it himself, like, we're not fighters. I'm not a fighter. You're not a fighter. This isn't what we do. And so then to start seeing some of the repercussions of like what could almost be like, you know, gut reactions or, you know, maybe that did feel like revenge to him, even though it wasn't the same guy. But all of these things have consequences and they're all building up.
Sure. And that's another thing I like about the show is, you know, playing up on the drama part of it, the seriousness of it, so to speak. You know, they showed that this action has consequences. It's not just, yay, we killed the bad guy. It's, okay, yeah, you took out the bad guy, but here's what happens when you take a life. This life that you don't value, someone else does, it has meaning. And so, you know, there's consequences to stuff like this. And so it's kind of, again, kind of neat to see the depth there of, you know, well, let's explore this and see, you know, well, what does it mean to take a life?
Well, and what do you think about the team as a whole? So we know Butcher's stance. Butcher, he's hellbent. But, you know, we have, like, Mother's Milk, who is a character at this point we haven't seen much more on. We know he is, like, probably the most level-headed of the group.
Oh, definitely. Clearly.
And definitely. So, you know, he's one of the characters I'm like, what is motivating this?
Yeah, because we don't see, we haven't really gotten any of his motivation yet. And so I'm curious to see how that plays out. Because, you know, clearly we've got to get backstory on everybody, so.
Right.
And even if it's just a little bit, you know, just some throwaway lines here and there, like, kind of like with Frenchie. But,
yeah.
But again, you know, we get good backstory on him in the comic, but again, it's way later.
Yeah.
It's you know, okay. It's a couple of years into the run. It's like around, it's up in the high 20s, low 30s.
I'm hoping they'll show us some stuff this season.
Yeah, I want to see something.
Some more in-depth look into who Mother's Milk is and why. Why be involved with someone like Butcher? It's a big step, you know.
Yeah, because he's clearly capable. He's capable and he's down with the mission, but he seems to be the one guy that would be like, no, I don't want anything to do with this. It's like, why are you going along with this, dude? I'm with you. I got to know. I want to know what his motivations are.
Yeah. So, we get to see a little bit more into Homelander and Maeve working together. And you get to see, like, really her detest for Homelander.
Oh, she hates him. That guy. Woo!
But it's sad because she can't say it. And she's stuck inside, and you can see her picking apart all of his moves and gestures, and she hates watching him be Homelander.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. So, I don't know. I want to know the pain there, so I feel like, yeah, it'll start to reveal itself. We're seeing more of what makes Maeve the way she is. I think that we'll see some of that coming soon in later episodes, but yeah.
So yeah, it's like why she seems jaded, and it's like why is she so jaded? And you know, we know from earlier episodes that she and Homelander had a relationship, and so what ended it? Obviously, what went wrong?
Right, and we know like right now specifically she's so jaded because they had the whole incident with the plane that was going down.
Well, yeah.
She had the opportunity. Like, they could have saved some people.
Yeah, we should talk about the airplane
scene. So, airplane is going down, and they had the opportunity to save people. And basically, Homelander opted out. And he said, nah, we can't save them all. There's no way I can catch a whole plane. There's nothing to stand on. It's just air.
Well, so, and you can't. You gotta backtrack a couple of steps to the fact that he's the reason the plane's going down, because they were trying to stop a hijacking,
right?
And he lasered that one, the one guy shot the pilot, and then Homelander lasered the hijacker, and at the same time cut a big swath right through the control panel on the plane, and so there's no flying it now.
And right, and it just like lends to his sociopathic like tendencies. Like he did this thing, and there's no remorse for it. There's no sense of like, well, I screwed this up, so it's my responsibility. I need to fix it somehow. It's like, well, they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. They got in the way. We should have been alerted sooner to this. You know, he was already kind of pissy because you know they got called out there so late. So. Like, families die, kids die in this plane crash, and Maeve is broken up about this.
Yeah, she tries to save the one little girl and her mom, and Homelander's like, no, I'm only taking you out of here. He's like, you can stay and die with them, or you can come with me. And she has that moment, and she's like, all right, fine, I'll go. I'll live. And they watch the plane go down.
Which is tough, because that comes back on her as well, you know? She's going to know, well, I could have saved some people, and I could have stood up to him. So it speaks to like her, what trauma and abuse she's had in her life, where she is, you know, right now. So that's going to be interesting to dive more into, to see just like you know, what breaks down all these decisions. So going back to her, like, her general, like, hate for Homelander right now. So they're back, and they're giving the speech to all the people who are cleaning up the wreckage, the families who lost, you know, loved ones. And it's a real, like, George Bush, 9/11 type speech, you know, down
yeah.
at the rubble, rallying the troops. And Homelander knows how to play a crowd, which is the worst thing. I remember thinking this as I was watching. I was like, that is the worst, like, situation to be in, when you know someone isn't who they say they are, but they know how to play a crowd.
Yeah.
Oh,
he can. Oh, he works them. He plays them like a violin.
It's gross.
It is. It's that's a good. That's a good way to describe it. It's gross. I felt dirty after watching. It's like, oh, I need a shower.
Right, because it's like so heartfelt, and he's, you know, trying to relate, and you know, I'm oh, with you. If only we would have got called sooner, you know.
So, yeah, and you know he doesn't mean a word of it. And,
no, and it's his fault. It's his fault. It went down.
Oh yeah,
he could have been a cleaner job.
He absolutely crashed that plane.
Right.
He crashes it in the comic book too, but in a more spectacular way.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. He flies right through the tail of it.
Oh.
He jumps outside and he's like, okay, I'm gonna fly down and I'm gonna push down on the back of the plane and try and get the nose up. And he just flies right through the plane and cuts the tail off.
Jeez.
That scene in the comic is. It's a flashback, and so basically it's 9/11, and there's this whole subplot in the comic book where a plane crashed into the Brooklyn Bridge, and it had thousands of people on it.
Oh, wow.
And anyway, this happens, like, in a flashback. It happens earlier before the current timeline, and the whole team goes out to try and rescue the plane from the hijackers.
Yeah.
And it's just a comedy. It's a massive comedy of errors. And it is just crazy. And then it ends with Homelander crashing the plane.
Right.
In similar fashion.
Same outcome.
Same exact outcome. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. It's so like, actually in this scene where he's kind of rallying the people around him, in a lot of similar ways, it's exactly what Butcher did with Huey, and he's playing on this death.
A
little different scenario. Obviously, you know, Butcher didn't kill Huey's girl, but, you know, that's, again, like, bringing one more thing to kind of connect them in this path as they're moving down it.
And it's, there are, like, two sides of the same coin.
Exactly. So it's interesting. I'm enjoying seeing how these characters are showing themselves and trying to figure out and understand, which maybe is a pointless task to try to understand someone like Homelander, since he's a sociopath. So that's inevitably pointless.
there's still the opportunity to get back to the root of what makes him a sociopath.
Right.
It's like, why is he the way? Is it just, was he born that way, or was he raised that way? Or is he, you know, is it a nature or nurture thing? So I hope we get to find that out.
Yeah, me too. So there's more things to kind of check out and look forward to. Obviously, the deep is in a deep place right now. So, which, he's an interesting character as well to look at, because aside from the terrible, terrible wrongdoing he did in the first episode, he's probably a character you could almost have empathy for. So you could feel for him in a little way, because he is, like, he's the gag hero.
Yeah.
You know, he's just the fish boy, and no one really cares. He's just kind of there to, he even said it himself, like, he's just, what did he say, like, a statistic, or he's like, he's basically just filling a void. He was that diversity hire, so.
Yeah, he's the diversity hire, yeah.
Right, so, yeah, he's somebody I'm interested in seeing how that plays out, because I didn't read the comic, but from the looks of how it's panning out, like, he could almost be, if he doesn't die soon, almost be somewhat involved as an accomplice to taking down the Seven and Vought. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it could be interesting. So, I mean, they're doing so much more with this character on the TV show, and I'm loving it. It's like we're getting to see some depth and hopefully some growth. And so they've given him something to do, and they're making him interesting, even though he's an ass and he deserves what he gets, but they're giving him something to do, and it's interesting, you know, to see.
Yeah.
It'll be fun to see how it all plays out, and what, you know, if maybe he does, you know, turn heel. So that would be kind of cool. Yeah.
Cool. Is there anything else you want to cover from this episode?
No, man, I think we got, I know, I'm sure we missed a few things, but hopefully the folks at home will let us know and or bring up points that they liked about the episode. But I think we've covered pretty much everything I had on my mind to talk about tonight.
Sweet. Yeah, I feel good. I'm looking forward to episode 5, and we will be covering that out. All these upcoming episodes will be coming out kind of back to back. Sorry, there was a little bit of gap between our time. We had some real life stuff to handle.
Yep.
Seal was just up and moving places. So thank you all for your patience.
Yes.
And standing by.
Yes.
So a couple things. Want to make sure that you all stop by our website, recap.fm. And this is important. Sign up to be on the mailing list.
Yes, so please.
It's important because that's where a lot of our information is going to come out at. So new episodes, different shows that we're doing. We have a lot of shows coming up. Y'all are about to kick off Dark Crystal. And,
yes, that's coming up here real quick.
Some of our different hosts. So you met Josh in our first episode. There's also JD. So we want y'all to hear a lot of the other team and some of the other shows. So if you're interested in any of those shows, give them a look and listen. Also, follow us on all of our socials. You can pretty much find us on all of our social media at Recap FM. So on Twitter and Instagram and all that.
Yep.
But yeah, that is it for us. So thanks for listening. And until next time.
Late.